and off the trouble. And I ask, Lord, that that's what, as we move into this message, as we speak of worship in a sense, as we did a couple of weeks ago, as we mention trial, as we mention storms, as we mention, Lord, war, we ask that you'd be honored and glorified as a people who are ready in themselves to meet days, to meet the days, to meet the enemy. Lord, to meet, Lord, your promises in this life. And we ask, God, that you'd be honored and that your word would wash and it would sanctify. And Father, it would deliver today as a people who would not only read this word, but believe every single word of it. That God, that we'd be a people that not only believe every word, but that we'd be a people who respond to every word. Come, Lord, visit us this morning in this word. As you visit us in this worship time, come visit us in your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his great sake and glory and honor. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. A few weeks ago, we had a guest speaker speaking on worship who led us, Tim Brown, and mentioned this passage. This morning, I want to go through the passage this morning. I want to go through it and ask the question, the third question of a new year, which is no longer a new year. How will we war? How will we war? How will we face the struggle? How will we face the trial? How will we face the enemy? Now, I want you to notice chapter 20. We'll look at the first four verses for just a moment and then just kind of move through it verse by verse. Chapter 20, verse 1. It came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea out of Aram. And behold, they are in En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And so Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. And they even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Now they've come to Jerusalem. Okay, they've come to the Temple Mount, the temple site where the temple is standing. And they've gathered together because a war is coming. A storm is coming. A trial is coming. And it is coming toward them, and they are going to do something that I believe is very appropriate, very absolute, total, very, very instructive on how we are to face the storms of life. Now, I want to ask, how many of you have been through the ringer lately, okay? Oh, good. Anybody else? Yeah, just raise it up high. Okay? Just want you to look around, okay? You're not alone. Hey, this section over here hasn't been through the ringer, okay? What is going on over here, huh? Okay, we want some of that. Again, how many of you have just gone through the ringer where there's just been some trials, there's been some struggles? Raise it high, okay? And the question we want to ask is, how are you warring today? How are you responding to these things? What's happening in your life and your relationship with the Lord that's growing and vibrant, that's kind of just pushing you through? It's moving you through the struggle. Maybe it's the loss. Maybe it's the affliction. Last week, I performed my third funeral in 11 days. 11 days. I was looking back over... I've got a place where I have in my computer a folder called funerals. And from 2013 to 3 weeks ago, or to now 2 weeks ago, I had done four funerals. I did three in the last 11. One of these funerals, I had gone out to a cemetery to do the graveside after the service and got out there early because it was just way, way out in Comanche County. And I got there just a little tad early, and the grave diggers were around, and they were talking about how business has picked up. I said, how so? He said, well, we've dug 15 graves since April 1st. And we'll do three or four more before the end of the week. And I realized something, like I've always realized something. When stuff like that's happening around here, it's usually happening everywhere. Everywhere. Someone this morning said, over in our little area, we had three die. It's just like it just seems to come in waves, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like it does that in your trials and the things that you're going through? Because you've gone through the ringer. And not most of us in here have not lost a loved one in the last 15 days. But we go through it. We go through the trial. We go through the struggle. I mean, there's things that happen where there is loss, there's uncertainty, there's difficulty. And then there's the daily stuff. I mean, just the daily things that we deal with in relationships and finances and marriage and family and kids and wanting to make ends meet and wondering how we're going to make the ends meet. And it's just a trial. It's just the struggle. When I look at this passage of Scripture, the thing that I want you to know, that you already know, but I want to remind you, is that know this: storms come, storms are coming. They're just going to come. And the thought is that if I'm knowing that and understanding that and I'm in Christ, then perhaps there's a strategy, perhaps there's a schematic, perhaps there's a way that I can prepare myself to walk through the next one. And maybe if I'm going one through today and I'm just hurting, I can't get over something, that perhaps that there'll be some principles from the Scripture that I can live by and apply so I can move through the trial triumphant, victorious. Because the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, has already overcome the world. In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good courage, be of good cheer. I have done what? I have overcome the world. And we are co-heirs with Him, co-heirs with Christ, already seated in the heavenlies. We've seen surgeries this week, past couple of weeks. We've seen some just hard things. You've seen it in your life. And I just want to tell you, know this: storms come, storms are coming, and maybe you're in the middle of one now. In this passage of Scripture, you have the children of Israel. They're gathered in Israel. There's a bad report. The Bible says that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, that Moab and Ammon were sons of Lot. Through the incestuous relationship their daughters had with their dad, and these folks have grown. They are the Bible. When you look at history and in certain Scripture, these people are giant killers. You look at Deuteronomy, and you don't need to go there, but Deuteronomy chapter 2, these people were giant killers. They weren't giants, but they killed a group of people called the Rephaim. Huge people of war. This is the threat. Ammon, son of Lot. But they were gross idolaters. Their chief idol was a god named Moloch, in which these people sacrificed children and others to. The children of Ammon afterwards, various times, they troubled the Israelites. They came after them. Moab is also the son of Lot. And they too drove out a race of giants called the Ammon. And they were inhumane people who were also gross idolaters, who worshipped Baal Peor, and history tells us, with obscene rites, R-I-T-E-S. They were intimidating. They were threatening. They were men of war, people of war, who overcame their enemies. And I'm telling you, this is the group, along with Mount Seir, who's coming after God's people to annihilate them. And there is this threat of this war, this storm. They are already in the land. They are already coming. They're already on their way. And they're just coming. And I'm going to tell you, the report is dim. And trials, these kinds of trials, they come to you and me. Trials, suffering, temptation, afflictions. Storms that threaten to steal, kill, destroy, to take away. To take away your home, your job, your kids, your peace, your joy, your life. It's interesting. James 1:2 says to consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. It's interesting. He doesn't say if. He says when. the trials come. And then James has the audacity to say, count it all joy, not just when one trial comes, but when various trials come. And various trials come. And they will continue to come. And they will continue to move. It's just the nature of a fallen world that the Scripture says is getting worse and worse, not better and better. But Scripture says also that although things are getting worse and worse, the believer gets better and better. Amen? Gets better and better. Bible speaks of that, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from immaturity to maturity, to defeat, to victory, from lostness to savedness, from savedness to walking this thing out and helping other people along in their trial and in their affliction, to comfort others who are losing and lost with the same comfort God gave you when you lost and when you went through the trial and you went through the struggle. It's a part of community. It's a part of togetherness. It's part of the church. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, which is a great and wonderful word. Endurance just simply means you're pushing through, you're leaning into the trial, you're leaning into it. But guess what? You're not leaning into the trial, you're leaning into God Almighty. You got your eyes fixed on Him. And that's the place of victory. It always is. Eyes on Christ. Eyes on Jesus. Listen, the enemy comes. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John 14:7. He's like a roaring lion seeking someone to destroy. 1 Peter 5:8. He's always scheming. 2 Corinthians 2:11. He'll come and he'll lie to you. He'll tempt you. And then when you fall, he'll accuse you. And he'll want to destroy you. Destroy your faith, destroy your family, destroy your church, destroy anything he can get his hands on. And he does not stop. We have a God that doesn't sleep. I want to tell you, you have an enemy that doesn't sleep. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. It's amazing to me how weak sometimes I can be when I don't have anything major going on, and then something pops up, and all of a sudden I'm just wet noodle. I'm just damp bread. Life can be difficult. But let me tell you something. With God, you can be victorious in the difficulty. You can triumph in the difficulty. And it may seem like the difficulty never ends, but I want to tell you, it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. It always does. It always will. It'll come to pass. One of the most familiar phrases in the King James Version is, it came to pass. And if you're going through something today, I'm going to tell you, it's going to come to pass. It's going to be behind you sooner than you think. That's the nature of life, but it's also the nature of the Christian life. We are in a war. It is a war for souls. It is a war for your peace. It is a war for your joy. Anything that the Spirit of God has come to do, it's a war to take away. It's coming. And you'll either fear it, and if you fear it, you'll fear it for a moment, or you can prepare for it with great fear, with great faith, because fear is just the assumption of loss. It just is. Listen, this is a bad report. It's a hard report. There's the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel. They are coming after them. And I want you to notice, this is what we do. We prepare for the coming storms. We become ready. Are you a person prepared for the war? Are you prepared for the next trial that's coming? I think one of the things as your pastor is that When we meet together, when we talk together, when you're going through trial and when you're going through struggle, and when we're preaching or Sunday school classes, meeting, teaching, listen, we as a staff, we as leadership, want us to be prepared for the hard, difficult times so we can pass through and look back and have no regrets on how we responded. No regrets because we did something that God told us to do. When the trial comes and the trial threatens, and when we are just in that moment where it comes along, what do? We turn our attention to seek the Lord. That's what we do. That's what they did. This king, Jehoshaphat, I'm going to tell you, he's a great king. He came to rule when he was 35 years old. And history tells us, and the scripture tells us, he was one of the best, most pious, prosperous kings of Judah. The greatest since Solomon. He had a love for the word of God. He was a zealous follower of the word. He loved the commands of God. And then he saw things happening in Israel that weren't right. And what he would do is he would try to make it right as king. You know, there were places in Jerusalem and Judah, places, groves, where the people of Judah would burn incense, listen to this, to God. Bible calls them the high places. And even though they were doing something to represent God and to do something to God, God didn't want that. Didn't want that. It was a central location. And he came in to try to tear down those high places. You know, let me say this. We have a tendency to worship the high places. Right, don't we? I mean, when it's good and it's great and all of that. I mean, how many of you gone to Colorado and, you know, you're just so raptured by the scene. Before long, you're worshiping the creation over Creator God. It can happen. It happens. And Jehoshaphat was one who would go to tear down the high places. Matter of fact, he would send the wisest Levites, the wisest leaders and Levites through all the cities and towns to instruct the people in true worship, in true life. And God, and the Bible says that God blessed him with riches and honor. He would receive tribute from the Philistines and the Arabians, and he even kept up a large standing army in Jerusalem. And even after all of that, he's afraid. He's afraid. And this righteous king, this successful, prosperous king, does something so phenomenal. He, in his fear, he turns his attention to seek the Lord. That's what we do as believers in Christ. Because of who we are and what we believe, that no matter what's happening around us, we're going to choose to not look down at the problem or look down at defeat, but we're going to look up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that we just worshiped of. That we just gave worship to. That it's perhaps easy to do it like this together, but when you are struggling and when you are hurting and when you are grieving, what do? We turn our attention to seek the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that all of a sudden it all gets better like that. What I am saying is that our God is greater than that stuff. He is bigger than this junk. He is bigger than Mount Seir, Ammon, Moab, enemies of God, enemies of the church, enemies of God's people who are giant killers. He is greater than them. And when we turn our attention to seek him, when we turn our attention to look to him, when we turn our attention to gaze at him and to say, God, we want to hear you today. I want to tell you, things begin to happen in our lives that are just wonderful and great. And it's pure and simple. When threat comes, I will pray. When threat comes, I will pray. I want to do something, and it's off the cuff, and I've never done this before in the middle of a sermon, but I want you to stand up right now. Would you do that? I want you to move a minute. And I want you to say to your neighbor, when the threat comes, I will turn my attention to God. Do that right now. Do it right now. Wow. Okay. Now that was a little uncomfortable, right? I read something about learning this week that I'm trying to apply. If you move and you speak it, you'll remember it a little more. So now that we're kind of over the embarrassment and we've done it once, I want you to do it to your other neighbor. And if you already did it to your other neighbor, just turn to your neighbor around you or up forward and just say it. When the threat comes, I will trust in my God. And you online, do the same thing if you're online today. All right. You can be seated. When the threat comes, I'm going to turn my attention to God. Do you know what you just said? You just said, I'm going to get my eye off the problem, off the struggle, off the threat, off the trial, off this, and I'm going to put my trust, or I'm going to put my attention to seek the living God in the midst of this, no matter how great the threat is or no matter how great the war is in your life. I'm going to turn my thoughts, I'm going to turn my attention, I'm going to turn my presence to the presence of this great God. Listen, we must prepare. We must prepare so that we move through the trial victorious and triumphant. And this is what this great king does. This is what Jehoshaphat does. He turns his attention to the Lord. The scripture says that what he does is he proclaims a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah comes together to seek help from the Lord. And they even come from all the cities of Judah. They do. And you know, you have scriptures like this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You have scriptures that speak of just stopping, being still before God, and just standing there, just we're going to see in a minute, and being attentive to who God is and what God wants to do. And that's what they do. Turn their attention to seek the Lord. And then they pray. Notice the prayer, verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people in Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they've lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. And we will cry out to you in our distress. And you said it, you will hear us and deliver us. We will turn our attention to the Lord and we will cry out for deliverance. Notice about this prayer. This prayer is an appeal to God. It's not a demand. It's not a prayer of authority that says, you do this and you do this, God. It's not that at all. It's just an appeal to God. God, this is who you are. This is what you've done. So we remember things that God has done in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our trial and struggle. And this is what you've promised. It's an appeal to God. Let me ask you a question. Isn't an appeal so much greater than a demand? But we like to demand, don't we? Wives, when your husband appeals or demands, what do you like better? Husbands? An appeal. An appeal. They make an appeal to God. I turn my attention to him, and then I pray, and I cry out, and then I make this appeal. God, this is who you are. This is who I am in you, and this is what you said you would do. You said that if we come to this place and cry out to you, you will hear our prayers and deliver us. Deliver us. Wonderful, wonderful prayer. This is what we do. We turn our attention to seek him, and through prayer cry out for deliverance. Now notice the appeal. It continues. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab, giant killers, Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of, watch this, your possession, which you've given us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless. Notice what he does. This is a confession, and this is what we do. We confess. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We are powerless. There's nothing we can do, but our eyes are upon you. This, to me, is one of the most powerful prayers in the Old Testament. It teaches us how to appeal to God. It teaches us to know to want to know the promises of God and what God says and how God will move in our lives. It's a great prayer. And it's a model prayer for you today. Because I tell you, you've heard me say this before, 40 years in ministry, and I go into places, and I still don't know what to do, and I still don't know what to say. I still sometimes don't know what to say. But when I move and you move into places that are hard and difficult for other people, listen, you're able to say to folks, listen, let's just pray. Let's just appeal to God. God has a God. He's a God of promises. He wants to speak into this trial. He wants to speak into your life during this season of your life so that when you come out of it, you're a better man, you're a better woman, you're a better son and a better daughter. We're a better church. And you know what? If we do this across our country, we'd be a better country. It is a great appeal, and we confess this. We're powerless, nor do we know what to do. But let me tell you something, God. My eyes are on you, and you know what? It's such a determination that we want to say, and my eyes are going to keep on being on you until you tell us to move, until you tell us what we need to do. And you know what? The prayer is answered. It's answered. So know this, know that trials come in, but do this. Prepare for the coming storms. Be ready by turning your attention to seek the Lord, crying out for deliverance, and confessing that you're powerless without Christ. And there are times you don't know what to do. In a minute we're going to see there are times you know what to do, okay? But there are times we don't know what to do, so our eyes are going to be on you. So Jehaziel, another player in this great story. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. Now notice this. He's the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. You know who Asaph is? Asaph was a singer in the temple. He was a worship leader. A priest that was a worship leader. The sons of Asaph became what they call temple singers. They were like the choir, okay? I think. The praise team. Okay. So there's about 12 psalms that have been written by Asaph. So Jehaziel is not just some prophet, but he's speaking prophetically as a worship leader. That's who he is. He's worship. That's his heart. He's a priest of God. He's one that knows and is trained to come before God and knows how to do the sacrifice and knows how to do the teaching, knows the word, knows what to say often. But the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we don't know what to do, but all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And notice what he says. He says, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, because the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Notice this. We need to not only know some things about the storm and it's coming, and we need to be doing some things, but we need to hear this today. We need to listen for His word, and we need to trust it when it comes. And I'm telling you, it's coming here. And here's the word. Quit being afraid. Quit walking in fear. Jesus said this a bunch of times. Hey, stop fearing. He said that to Peter. Quit being afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men. You see it. Don't be afraid. It is I. Don't be afraid. Don't fear, Mary. Don't fear, Elizabeth. Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. This, know this, that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's God's war. It's God's battle. And he says this, verse 17, you don't need to fight in this battle. You just need to station yourselves, and you need to just stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Don't fear, don't be dismayed. Just go out tomorrow to face them, for the Lord is with you. Just don't stand there. What have you heard? Just don't stand there. Do something. I'm going to tell you, that's me. I don't want to just stand here. I like to move. I don't want to just stand there. And you know, that's what we say. Just don't stand there. Do something. It's a common phrase that speaks to our desire to fix things, to say we've got to be doing something to be effective. And we do it in every area of life. Because we're by nature, we want to be doers. And we want to be servants, and we want to be obedient to do what God asks us to do. But sometimes we don't know what to do. And so we settle for the other. We just stand there. And I'm going to tell you again, I just hate standing there. I want to move. Now don't get me wrong here, because he's saying, listen, don't move here. It's not your battle. You don't have to do anything today. I just want you to stand there. I just want you to stand there. Wait for me. Now please hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying let's go to some hill and just stand there and wait for God to come. We are hearers of the word. We are effectual doers of the word. There are some things that we're hearing. So in a way, they are doing something. You know what they're doing? They're obeying God. And they're told to stand there. They're not gathering the army. They're not getting the chariots. They're not getting the horses ready. They're not doing any of those things. They're not calling forth for all the men over 21 to come who's been trained in battle to get here as soon as you can. No, the Bible says, I just want you to stand there. I want you to watch. The battle's God's. The battle is Lord's. Just don't fear. Don't be dismayed. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's like he says, it's not your fight. This one's not yours. You just don't need to fight in this one. You just stand and watch. And I want to say, really? Really? Because I want to move. I want to hear now what you're asking me to do. Sometimes the most effective thing we can do is hear God and stand still and wait for his word. I want to ask you, church, are you waiting for his word? You know, there's something interesting, like we just said, about scripture, because he's going to go on. Well, just notice, verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord. Watch this. And they began worshiping him. The Levites from the sons of Kohath, the Kohathites, the sons of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Begin worshiping. What does that tell you? It tells you we've heard from God and it's done. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be dismayed. So guess what we'll do? We'll worship our great God. We'll have a worship service. And that's what they do. They've turned their attention to the Lord. They've sought him. They've asked him. They've prayed for him. They've appealed to him. God has answered. God has answered in a mighty way. And what are they going to do? They're going to stand there and they're going to worship their great God. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there that day? I'd have loved to have been there that day to hear the song, to hear the worship, to hear the joy. Why? Because they believe the word. Don't you see what's happening? When you worship God, you know what that does? It drives out unbelief. It drives out the worry. It drives out the anxiety. It drives it out. Listen, for those of you here today that really worshiped and you participated, did you think about anything? Listen, when I was worshiping, I didn't even think about the message. You know, sometimes I pull out my Bible on a little break. Get ready. Worship is powerful. Listening and hearing what God says and then worshiping about it, it's a powerful, powerful thing. Because you know what's happening here? The horde's still coming. It hadn't changed. They're still coming. The storm's still coming. The war's still coming. And what are they doing? They're worshiping God in such great obedience and such great faith and such great joy. They worship. And so can you. Do you know why? Because in the world you have tribulation. And you can be a good cheer in worship because he's already overcome it. He's already overcome it. The question is, are we going to line ourselves up to that and believe the word of God when the storm in our eyes is still coming and the storm is still there? You know, I want to just say something real briefly, because in every area of our life, we must trust him. And that's what he says. Verse 20, they rose up early in the morning. They went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God. Be established and put your trust in his prophets. Put your trust in his word and succeed." And when he consulted the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Trust in his word and succeed. Trust in his prophets and succeed. You know, I shared this earlier, about 5 minutes ago. There are things in areas of your life that you don't need to stand there and wait for a word from God. You know what to do. Is that right? Is that right? I mean, men, listen, as a husband, I already know what Scripture says about how I'm to love my wife. I don't have to stand there and wait. God, what do you want me to do here? I already know. I already know that I already know that I'm to love and cherish and nourish, honor and live with her in an understanding way. I already know that. I don't have to wait and say, "Okay, God, what am I going to do now?" When it comes to John Ann. Wives, you know that you're called to respect your husband. Be to him as you are to Christ. You already know what to do. And I'm telling you, I know that there's times that are struggle, and sometimes it just doesn't seem it works. And you know what? It does take two. I know that. But as far as I know, I'm to do that. I already know that a gentle answer turns away wrath. I already know that. In all of my relationships. My children, I know that I'm not to provoke them to anger, but I'm to raise them in the ways of the Lord. I already know that. I don't need to ask God. Now, there's specific things that go on. There's specific things that happen that I want a word from God, but I already know. You know, my church family and friends, I already know. I know that God's given us gifts. He's given us special gifts to encourage the church and to encourage the community with. I don't need to go to the pastor to say, what am I supposed to do? No, you've got gifts in your life from the Spirit of God that you're to employ, Scripture says. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I already know what to do about the world. We're sent people. We're to go. We're to give witness. I already know that. I don't have to stay and ask God, "God, am I to be patient or impatient?" I know I'm supposed to be patient. Am I to be loving or hating on this one? No, you'd be loving. Am I to walk in chaos, or am I supposed to have peace? No, you're supposed to have peace. We just go straight down, right? The fruits of the Spirit. Am I supposed to be gentle, or am I supposed to be harsh? Am I to be kind, or am I to be mean? We already know so much. Is that not right? Amen. We already know. What am I supposed to do about my enemies? The Bible says I'm supposed to pray for them. Romans 12:20 says, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Learn something about this week. That seems like a verse that says, listen, if he's doing something to you, do something nice, and he'll be all embarrassed about it. You'll heat burning coals. In Bible days, there was always in a house a fire going. I mean, you had a fire going. You couldn't just come turn on the oven. You had to have the fire. You had to have coals. It had to be ready. They always had coals going. But occasionally, the coals went out. And so what they would do is often they'd go to a neighbor with a bucket and say, I need some coals. And it's interesting because in Eastern places, they carried stuff on their head. And if you were a really nice neighbor, you just didn't give them three coals. You heaped coals in the bucket. And they walked blessed. They walked blessed. This is a blessing. This is a gift. It'll heap it. It'll heap a blessing upon them. And that's what Scripture says. That's what we're supposed to do. And we get the Spirit of God to empower us. I'm to pray for my persecutors. I'm not to bite back. I'm not to shout back. I'm not to do tit for tat. I know what to do. My trials, we count it all joy. James 1, 2 through 4. My finances, we tithe and we give. We don't take and make. Although you want to make so you can give. That's what Scripture says. I know what to do with my finances. I know already that I'm supposed to give my first and best. I know that. That's what Scripture says. That's what Scripture teaches. And I know I'm to pay my bills, and I know I need to pay them on time. I need to take care of business. I don't have to ask God, what do I do about this one? There are times that financially things happen and we're at the bottom of it and we don't know if we're going to pay mortgage this week. Yeah, understand that. But in so many ways, in so many forms, we already know what to do. And we must do that. We must do that. I'm going to finish this in a minute, but we'll take offering while I finish, okay? So come on down. We'll do offering real quick. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this offering. Thank you for how you've blessed us. I thank you, Father, for instructing us on how we live and things that we already know how to do and know what to do. And when it comes to money, we tithe and give. When it comes to money, we don't love it. We don't love money. But we tithe and we give. And I pray that you bless the tithes, you bless the offerings. We know that there's just so much going on that you've called us to as a body, and we're just so grateful in how you've always provided us for us so that we're able to give. And I just ask you'd bless the tithe, you'd bless the gift, and you'd bless the giver in a mighty, mighty way. And I want to thank you for this promise and how you've already told us to trust your word and succeed. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Know this, storms are coming. Do this. Prepare for the coming storm. Hear this. Don't be afraid. Listen for his word and trust it. Don't be afraid. The battle belongs to the Lord. You don't need to fight. Just watch. Just stand there. Just stand there and watch what I do, what I want to do. And then the fifth thing is worship. Verse 22 says that when they began singing and praising the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Do you understand what happens here? One word or phrase. Confusion. That's what it is. Confusion. God sent confusion on the enemy. And what do? They destroy one another. They're praising God and they're watching, or they're coming upon a scene of war, and they're not even a part of the war. They're just watching. They're just spectators, and they're worshiping their great God. And as they're worshiping the great God, their great God, these enemies that were coming and had come, the storm that came, it dissipated. Dissipated. And they helped to destroy one another. We worship. There's power in worship. There's power in praise. You can see that. You can have glimpses of it. And this is what we want to default to. This is where we want to head to. We want to worship our great God. We worship Him. God does something significant. God does something supernatural. In this case, everything changes. It changes completely. They have helped to destroy one another. Now watch this. We'll close with this morning. Verse 24, when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And watch this, they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. So much. Have you ever had a trial and you got through and the trial dissipated and things changed completely and you were able to enjoy the spoils of the victory, the life that God gave, all because you defaulted to the first thing? You turned your attention to seek the Lord. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? I hope you got your notes this morning when you came in. They're on the little kiosk in front. There might be somebody in your life right now that's going through a trial that needs to hear this. You can send them to the Facebook page sometime this week and they can click on it and listen to it. But I want to ask this question today. What storm do you fear is coming right now? It's coming, you see it. Or what storm are you in the middle of right now? I would say that you, if you'd apply these principles today, you can watch the storm dissipate. And maybe it might be a while before it dissipates, but the storm that's going on in you will definitely dissipate. Grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, where the threat of storms began sometime in June and culminated until October. 5 months, hurricane season. And we saw a lot of hurricanes form and come our way. We were in a couple of bad ones. But there was one storm I'll never forget. I don't remember what they named it. But it was coming. And it was coming straight. And it wasn't a category 5 or 4 or 3. It was about a 2 or 1. And we were all scared to death. 100% chance of rain. 100%, not 90, not 80, not 50, 100%. And it didn't rain. It didn't even rain. I'll never forget that as long as I live. I want to say this to you, church. We serve an awesome, holy God that our praise team led us in worship today. He is holy. He is blameless. He is alive. in whatever the storm is and whatever the trial is, my prayer is that you'd begin the process, or if you're not yet, to turn your attention to seek the Lord. I want you to notice about this is really important, is that they did that together. You need to face your storm in community. People need to know you. You need to know people. You don't want to just go through it alone. And neither do we want you to go through it alone. We face the storms together. We turn our attention to the Lord together. That's what we do. That's what we see. That's what we do. And we listen to the Word, and we do that. Even when He says, okay, just stand there and praise God and watch me work. I don't know about you, but this is how I want to war. I want to war this way. I want to war according to Scripture. I want to war this way. So that I turn my attention to Him, so that I might be like Him in the storm, be like Him to my wife, to be like Him to my children, to be like Jesus to my grandchildren, to be like Jesus to my church. It's to be there. Eyes fixed on Jesus. Lord, I thank You so much for the great instruction of Your Word. I thank You for this powerful, powerful word from Scripture. I thank You for the Scripture today, and I ask, God, that we would take these things and that, Father, we'd think on them, we'd bless You with them, that we would prepare ourselves for them. And I want to thank You, Father, for how You'll work, how You'll move, and how You'll bless. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Happy Mother's Day. Mom, if you're watching, happy Mother's Day today. New Orleans. So glad that you're here today. Let's stand together. If you'll raise a hand or two, let's do this blessing together, okay? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, lift up His countenance towards you, and give you peace right now, this week, and forever and ever. Would you receive that today? Just say, I receive it. Amen. Go. Yeah. Good man, y'all.